On this episode of In Their Words, prepare to be inspired by the extraordinary journey of Gretchen Rupp, a cancer survivor who defied all odds to transform her life through education. Despite facing unimaginable challenges that could have broken her spirit, Gretchen persevered with incredible determination, fueled by a powerful promise to her son. Thanks to support from the UPMC Pinnacle Foundation, she achieved her dream of attending nursing school, against all odds. Gretchen's story is one of resilience, courage, and the life-changing impact of pursuing an education, no matter what obstacles stand in your way. Her powerful narrative will leave you in awe of the strength of the human spirit. Listen to Gretchen's uplifting journey, available now on your preferred podcast platform, and get inspired by this remarkable tale of overcoming adversity through sheer grit and dedication.
My name is Gretchen Rupp, and I work for UPMC Pain Management and Addiction. I'm a clinical coordinator. As far as medical, I was pregnant with my son when I decided to go into medical. I've always had a drive to want to do things. I wanted to be an EMT. I wanted to be a paramedic. I had moved away when I was 21, was in Buffalo, was getting ready to start the EMT course when I found out I was pregnant and had to basically be on bed rest the whole 9 months. So I decided when he was 4 months old to start school for my medical assistant. So went 8 months, single mom, daytime school, evenings, taking care of him and working at the daycare to get through. And by the time he was a year old, I started my first job in a medical office. So it was a private office, and I worked there for 6 years, and then I doubled at the prison, the county prison. I worked in their medical department. I then transitioned full-time there and part-time at the doctor's office, and I did that for 4 years. I have a lot of experience to take you back. I was on the streets when I was 14, and by choice, I put myself into a rehabilitation center when I was 16 years old. So I kind of came from that lifestyle, and it was not a hard transition for me to deal with people that I could have easily been on that side of the fence. So working with them, I'd never got disrespected. I was never in danger. It was a lot of fun. It was always something new, always drama. I saw 90 inmates a day, easily did 21 intakes a day. There was fights, there was violence, there was things. It was never with me, but I always loved the hands-on. And it was just constant go, and it was 16-hour shifts, and they went by snap of a finger. But as far as dealing with inmates, I actually had a really good rapport with most of them, and I went from there, and I started when my son got old enough to be in school. I was working at the prison 16 hours a day, both days on the weekends, and then 8 hours another day, and then 2 days at a doctor's office. So I got to spend a lot of days with him, and then weekends I would work and he would go to my parents' house. So when he started school, I had to transition to a daytime job during the week so that I could be with him on the weekends. So I went to work for Heritage, which then turned into Pinnacle, which then turned into UPMC. And I've been there ever since 2009. And I did stay part-time at the prison for a while and then just transitioned to one job and have just progressed through that until I've gotten where I am now. Where I work now is with pain management and addiction. We started out, we were doing addiction and pain management as in street addiction and pain management. Because there's other departments that deal specifically with just the addiction aspect, we've then transitioned that over to them so because they have the better resources. So now we still remain pain management and addiction. But what we do is we transition people, deal with obviously pain meds, procedures. There's a lot of psychology that goes with it. There's a lot of psychosocial issues that deal with that pain. And people tend to self-medicate, overuse meds, and that's where our addiction aspect comes in. So if someone comes into us and they're on high doses of meds, but they have a substantiating pain generator, we then have to get them transitioned to the proper medication regimen, whether it be, you know, traditional opiates, or we have to transition them to something like Suboxone for opiate use disorder. So that's why we still kind of keep that addiction key in there. And we also very much promote like physical therapy, lifestyle changes. We don't just push pills and stick needles in people. We spend hour-long appointments talking to people where they are in life, what their goals are, how can we make things better, what their expectations are. So our patients are very much involved in their care. It's not us telling them what they do. And my role in that is to go in, like I do a complete chart review before they come in. And I'm back to 2016-15 as far as EMR goes. I also check docket sheets for criminal activity. I go through the PDMP and check for meds. I'd look for, you know, certain behaviors that could be kind of hindering to care or something that we would need to work on. And then we kind of get an idea of what we're walking into. So when we approach a patient, it's not, hey, why are you here? It's, this is what we know about you. Now, how would you like us to help you through that? And it's a better approach because you go in on a personal level, like, oh, okay, they're not just, you know, we're not a number, we're not this, we're not that. And they don't always agree with us. A lot of times we get a lot of combative stuff. We're kind of like the principal's office. You failed everywhere else, you come to us. And I do really, really well de-escalating that. And I love doing that because somebody can come in and they're just completely mad. And my doctor did this, this person did this. And it's just, you know, okay, let's put all of that aside. Let's see what we can do for you. I'm not going to judge them on whatever another doctor wrote because the interpretation of that could have been they were in pain, they were hangry, they were whatever. It was a bad day. It doesn't mean it's going to be that with us. And it usually isn't.
In facing one of life's greatest trials, Gretchen stumbled down a path of addiction. It was this transformative and deeply personal experience that ultimately sparked Gretchen's passion for helping others through their own health crises. Her unique perspective, forged from having traveled to the brink and back, would become her biggest asset in caring for patients.
I spent my sweet 16 in rehab. My mother had an addiction problem, opiate pills, and she basically introduced them to me around age 8 or 9. So as things happened and I'd learned to self-medicate, it wasn't more of, oh, I want to go get high. It was just, okay, this happened. I take a pill, it gets better. But I used that. I didn't want to be like that. And putting myself in rehab, I got introduced to a team of amazing people. I have one particular counselor, Papa John. His name is John Lowndes. Met him when I was 16, and I stayed in contact with him until the day he passed away when my son was 6 months old. His picture is on my office. I promised him that I would give back at some point in time. I've been through so many things that could give direction. You know, it's one of those make or break systems. And I learned through rehab how to cope with problems, how to talk to people, how to communicate. Self-worth, self-love, that's a lot of what people lack that come in with psychological issues and bad home upbringings. And I'm a huge advocate that you have two choices in life. You can use what you have to make an excuse to do bad, or you can use what you have to make your life better for you and your children. And I chose the latter of the two. And taking everything that I learned from that, I've always had an interest in addiction, but I love medicine. I love looking at it. It's like a big puzzle and I need to figure it out. And whether it's not just pain management, it's not just like it can be this problem leads to this problem. Like I love anything that has to do with problem solving on a medical basis. But I also like the psychological aspect too, because you can put two and two together and understand this hurts more because you're going through this. Your body hurts more when you're stressed out. When you're tired and you're exhausted, everything hurts more. So the first thing in dealing with pain management is self-care. You have to take care of you first. So it actually works well because of the barrage of things that I went through. I can apply those. I don't, you know, tell people what to do or how to do, but I understand. I can put myself in the thought process, even though it's unhealthy, what they're thinking. I can understand why and how they're thinking it. And a lot of times I get through, like there's a lot of times a female patient and they're having a hard relationship and they're a single mom and they're going through. Nobody knows that until they've been through that. It is a hard transition. And then you add into, you know, lifestyle, home, addiction, all of that. It's not something that everybody just knows how to deal with. People are like, oh, we'll leave. Oh, do this. Nobody understands the psychological hold that things have on you until they're in it. So being able to apply what I've been through to help somebody, it may or may not, but for the one person that it does get through to, or the one person that calls me back to say, hey, can we further talk about this, which does happen occasionally, it does make a difference. I was halfway teetering. So backstory on Terrence is he was my lucky number 7. I was told I could not have children. I had lost 6 pregnancies before him. And when I did finally, oh my goodness, I'm pregnant, it was kind of, I was teetering between the streets and doing something with my life. And I am a person of faith, and I feel like that was God's way of saying, do something with your life. Coming from what I came from, which was, I didn't have a horrible childhood, but I had a very trying childhood. Most people have the absent father. I had the strained relationship mother-wise, very amazing father, but it went certain ways. So I was able to take everything that I'd been through to make everything better for my son. Like, I'm not the best mom in the world. I made so many mistakes along the way. But my son is my best accomplishment in life. He is my reason for doing everything that I do, and I can't tell him to do something if I don't lead by example.
Just when Gretchen had regained control of her life after addiction, she was dealt with another staggering blow, cancer diagnosis. Her candid retelling lays bare both the physical and emotional tolls endured by cancer patients and their families.
It was December 1st of 2017. I was moving into a new house that day. I was working like 70 hours a week. And I was just kind of tired and run down. And I just felt like that was what was wrong. And I ended up, I had abdominal pain, and I went to the hospital because I got a fever and I thought I had appendicitis. And lo and behold, blood work was off the wall. So I did what any normal medical person does, and I ignored it for 3 months. And I went back to my doctors. Actually, it was a doctor in UPMC that I was working with at the Express Clinic. I had asked them to print my blood work out to take it to the specialist that I was supposed to go see. And he was like, wait a minute, what's this? And I'm like, well, what's wrong with that? And he was like, your white count's off the wall and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, go get your blood drawn. So the doctor that I worked with actually kind of prepped me before, ran some tests for me. And I was able to, by the time I walked in the oncology office, I knew I had a blood cancer. I just didn't know which one. We knew it wasn't acute. We knew it was chronic. So I remember sitting in front of the doctor. I was by myself. I really don't have a support system, and I'm not going to dump it on my kid who was 15 at the time. But it was just kind of, he was like, you have leukemia. I don't know what kind. We have X, Y, and Z testing to do. And I remember I started chemo later. Argued with the doctor because I could only work 40 hours a week. I worked the entire time the first year. I take pill form, so I didn't have to get infusions. You know, I didn't get the hard blast, but I went through about a year and a half of just sick headaches and weight loss and hair loss and face planting at my desk while I'm at work and having to wear a mask everywhere I go. No immune system and depression, and it was bad. I was in a not so good relationship. I didn't have like anybody just to kind of lean on. My dog was there. She spent many nights on the bathroom floor with me. But my son, that was the hardest part. Like, telling him was my hardest part. Just, you know, it's me and him. Who's going to take care of my son? What if I don't make it through this? And I was in the kitchen one day, and he said, Mom, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm okay. And he was like, no, are you okay? And I said, yes, baby, I'm okay. And he said, you don't have to be okay. I can be okay for you. And from that point on, it was like he just was my rock. And things got better. I've been in remission for going on 4 years. And this April will be 4 years. I'm about to get my test done for this year. We're slowly decreasing my medication. And hopefully in 2 years, I can look at going off of my chemo for a trial phase.
As if battling addiction and cancer weren't enough for one person to overcome, Gretchen faced yet another selfless test of her boundless reserves of strength and perseverance. Her former partner had suffered a devastating injury, leaving him in need of round-the-clock care. Without hesitation, Gretchen made the sacrifice to be his caregiver.
Motorcycle accident, July 27th of 2019, which left him paralyzed from the waist down. So my cancer gets stabilized. Our relationship was kind of rocky and about to end. And he gets into an accident. And he doesn't have any family either. So, yes, I took on the task of caring for him. And in caring for him, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have a support person that comes in during the day. But when I am off work, by the time I clock out from one job, I clock in to take care of him until 10 o'clock every night. 13 hours every Saturday and Sunday. I have to do programs every evening. I have to be home at 7 o'clock. He is dependent on me for dressing, bathing, cleaning, laundry. Now, he's about to get surgery coming up, and it's a spinal cord stimulator surgery that is supposed to help with his mobility. He's doing that at UPMC Pittsburgh, and then he's moving to Florida. So we've kind of, I've learned a lot. Like, I don't look at it, everybody's like, why are you taking care of him? I have learned so much medically that I've been able to apply to school and gained so much knowledge just in different medical aspects from dealing with something that's not normal. Everybody doesn't know about it, but I can recognize so many things. And now I'm sitting in class and I'm like, okay, that's where this came from. And this chemical reaction caused this. And it's actually, it pushed me. If I can do that, why can't I go to school and be a nurse?
Gretchen found inspiration and motivation from her son. It was a heartwarming promise made to him that gave her the drive to keep pushing forward against all odds. Get ready to be moved as Gretchen recounts making a vow to her son that she would start pursuing her college education when he began his own academic journey.
I promised him I would start college when he started college. I decided I was a mom. I was a baseball coach for him for 6 years. I went to every game. I was at every function. Like, I chose to be a mom for the lesser pay to experience my son. And I wouldn't trade a day of being broke and happy for any amount of missing something and more money. So off to school I went. The semester after he started, I started. He is in computer-aided drafting and design, so he'll be in the engineering field. He graduates May 29th of this year and on the dean's list. So he had funding for the first 2 years. We basically paid nothing out of pocket. The last year, this last year, 22-23, because of my income and caring for my ex, I had to pay cash for his tuition. So he had the grants, the FAFSA, but with my income, unfortunately, that was decreased. I'm the only one supporting the three of us. So I had to pay for his college. I am doing 1 to 2 classes per semester because of my schedule. Obviously, I can't add too much. And I'm paying cash for everything that I do so that there's not any out-of-pocket expense coming out of school. And I know when clinicals hit, I'm probably going to need, it'll be more financially on my plate that I'll have to put out. So I've been trying to decrease like loan amounts and just in general. So with the foundation and paying for my son's college, paying for my college, it's been a godsend. I was able to go 2 semesters with no out-of-pocket, which was absolutely amazing for me. And I mean, UPMC has a wonderful reimbursement program. It's still kick out first. You still, you know, and you just rotate that. So that's what I was doing before the scholarship is basically I would put the money out. What I would get back, I would apply towards the next semester and just keep going like that. And the foundation gave me some breathing room to, you know, I paid down my son's loan. Because I did take a loan out for his tuition and I was able to get that paid down so that I could concentrate on my own. And it was absolutely, I can't even tell you how much I appreciated it, how much burden it took off of me. I love our company. Like, I absolutely love what I do. I love the people I work with. I've never had a bad experience. And to be part of that and be supported is huge.
Gretchen's path to higher education was littered with obstacles. As she began working towards her degree, the punishing financial impact of her cancer treatments loomed large. The overwhelming costs associated with her past health battles made paying tuition seem like an insurmountable challenge. However, when she applied for scholarships through the UPMC Pinnacle Foundation, their support became the lifeline she needed.
So without insurance, my medication costs $15,600 for 30 pills a month. I haven't had to pay out of pocket anything. So having the knowledge I have, I went through there's a copay assistance card that I get through the actual chemo company. Our insurance through UPMC has a specialized pharmacy program that they basically cover the rest of it. So, and I pay for the more expensive insurance because I get so many testing done. I have to get heart checked, lung checked, like everything because of chemo side effects. So I pay the higher premium and have the less out of pocket. But yeah, it is $15,000 for one prescription. So right now I am 2 classes. I did all of my gen eds, like all the gen eds. And then I did a lot of the classes that are included in clinicals, like my AMPs I'm in now. I'll do micro next. I have a math to do. So when I start clinicals, I just can concentrate on clinicals. And I'm going to do the part-time evening program. And then I'm going to move directly into my bachelor's. So once I finish my bachelor's, probably be 50. It's going to depend on if I feel like going back to school or not. I'm kind of one of those people that can't stay complacent anywhere. And when I get to a certain point, like the last 2 years with Tara being in school, I'm so impatient. I want this done. But I also know that I can't take on any more that's on my plate. Like, that's impossible. But I'm so impatient. Like, I got to get it done. I got to get it done. But I know I'm going to get to a point where I'm like, I can't go any higher until I do more. And then I do more. It's just me. My hardest thing as a mother has been not taking care of him now that he's grown. I have to let him go and let him make decisions. But in doing that, I actually look at him and I'm like, you're amazing. Like, I wish I had the head that he had at even 19 years old. Yeah, like, I mean, I was on the streets a lot of my teenage years, house hopping. I had my own apartment, 2 cars and 2 jobs when I graduated high school because I was on my own. My son, I always made sure, you know, obviously he doesn't have to work through college, and everything I've done so that he didn't have those struggles. But he's appreciated it watching me struggle. Being a female, we all have those bad boyfriends. My son actually said to me the one day, he was like, Mom, you know, they were horrible, but they taught me what kind of man I don't want to be. So that's kind of, he's very just mature. On senior week, instead of going to the beach, they went camping and fishing and played Uno and sent me pictures. Yeah. And his father recently came back into his life. He was there when he was younger. He was in and out for his own reasons. He's building a relationship with him now. And I was actually able to speak to him around Christmas time, probably the first time we talked in like 10 years. He actually thanked me, apologized and thanked me for doing such a good job. And, you know, he was like, he did a really great job with our son. And amazingly, that's the first time I ever even heard our son. But we get along great. You know, him and his wife are invited to Terrence's graduation. But Terrence did say, he's like, I want my dad there, but please know that I'm here because of you.
After recounting her awe-inspiring journey, overcoming addiction, cancer, and financial hardship, one question remains. What fuels Gretchen's internal fire to persevere against all odds? When asked directly about the driving force behind her relentless determination, her response is as powerful as it is enlightening.
I think it's more of, I know what it's like to be at the worst of most of their situations, and it can get better. One thing that always stuck with me, one inmate, I had one female inmate, and she was always in and out, and I used to kind of coach her and talk to her. And she came in, and she was all drugged up one time, and I usually gave him a couple days to sober up. And she looked at me, and she was like, nobody ever makes it. Why am I even bothering? And I remember I looked at her and I was like, I'm standing right here. Like, I went to rehab when I was 16. It's different circumstances, but I'm standing here and I'm doing this. I know for a while she did well and I lost contact with her, but that's basically, it is possible. I'm not Superwoman. I have my limits. I have my mistakes. I have my shortcomings, but I'm strong. I'm driven, and things are possible in bad situations. And I think that's what drives me. I've had a lot of people, my drive in my past used to be all the people that just expected me to fail because I took the hard road and everything. And then I just wanted to be better. I always want to be better, not better than anybody, just better in myself. The last 3 years of taking care of my ex have actually been my eye opener. It's been my find your worth. I was alone. Like, it was very, very just lonely emotionally, physically. But I learned to appreciate myself. So I do take time, you know, whether it's just lay in bed, whether it's walk my dog, whether it's sit there and just be quiet and breathe in the car, blast the music. I take time, you know, if something does come up, I do go see, like, I'll go visit. My best friend's dad is still alive because my father passed. I go spend time with him all the time. But I find little things to do. I don't care if it's sitting there staring at the sky or out at lunchtime at work, just sitting at the table, soaking in the sun. Once my schedule decreases when, you know, after his surgery, it'll be a lot more self-care. But that's kind of why I came to the reason of I can't do this schedule anymore. My back is starting to go. My shoulder's messed up. And it's time for me to take care of me, which is kind of where I came to the conclusion that it's time for me to concentrate on one job, school. My son's about to graduate. Like, this is my time to shine, and I'm going to.
While Gretchen's path was defined by hardship after hardship, her story is not one purely of perseverance in the face of adversity. It's also a celebration of achieving her dreams and finding purpose in her work at UPMC in Central Pennsylvania. With admirable candor, Gretchen eagerly shares what drives her enthusiasm for her role at this world-class medical facility. Clearly, she has found a professional home that allows her to have a positive impact daily.
I love the organization. I am a don't make waves and fly under the radar type person, but I love the fact I'm so interdepartment with people with what I do. I've never had a bad interaction with anybody in UPMC, whether it's been, you know, my ex has been in and out of the hospitals. He's not the easiest person to deal with, so I've had to kind of deal with an entourage of people and de-escalating him and letting them know, like, kind of brushing under the rug. But at the same time, like, even corporately, like, I meet a lot of people in and out. I involve myself in a lot to get to know people. I like to network. So as a whole, like, I can't say that I've ever had a bad experience. I know the change from Pinnacle to UPMC, everybody, oh my goodness, and the panic button hits. But, you know, you can't grow without change. And some of it was hard to process, but I don't think anything was bad. Like, I've gotten to grow in my position. I'm as far as I can go until I finish school, and I learn something new every day. But I love my coworkers. Like, I work with so many departments, though. And even as a patient, like, I work with the oncology department at work, and I'm a patient there. I work with the ortho, and I'm a patient. So it's kind of like you walk into these offices, and you're a patient, but then people on a personal basis, it makes a huge difference on just your comfort level. So I can't say anything bad. Like, I love working here. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I love sharing my story. I am super excited to keep moving forward in school. The foundation has made an amazing impact on just giving me a little room to breathe and enjoy going through the stress of school. But yeah, that's just, there's no amount of words that could say the appreciation of programs like this in a person, even in a situation as such as mine or the many different ones that you guys encounter.
What an incredible journey we've witnessed through Gretchen Rupp's own brutally honest and moving words. From battling addiction and cancer, to becoming a caregiver, to overcoming financial adversity to achieve her educational dreams. Gretchen's story is a testament to the strength of the human spirit, her perseverance to create a better reality for herself and her son serves as an inspiration to anyone facing difficult obstacles. Gretchen's relentless determination proves that no matter how tough the road gets, an unwavering focus on your motivations can sustain you. Ultimately, her openness about life's darkest moments and sincere appreciation for supportive organizations like the UPMC Pinnacle Foundation and UPMC in Central PA leave you in awe of her heart and resilience. We can all learn from Gretchen's powerful ability to overcome, adapt, and find purpose in serving others after confronting her own health challenges. Her passion for nursing and working at UPMC is palpable. If you were moved and inspired by Gretchen's incredible story, please rate, review, and share this episode to help others find it. Your support for In Their Words allows us to continue bringing you more amazing journeys like Gretchen's.